Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I'll leave you with this with Dustin Chaffin.
So you're going to Aruba? We just kind of go in.
Yeah, there's no introduction. No,
well, there is it. After a while, you'll see what I do. I think it's like it's. I hate cheesy podcasts where it's like, "Hey, everybody, welcome to the."
Oh, you know, I know.
Just, yeah, I just talk and then we get to the intro. But
right.
Have you been to Aruba before?
You know what's really hilarious? I don't know. I don't remember. Isn't that crazy?
Because
I've been to so many. Probably. Yeah. I was probably a lot of other things too.
Nice.
But I've done so many cruises, unfortunately, that I may have stopped there at some point. I don't think so.
Wow.
Supposed to be very windy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's, you're not blonde, so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully I won't go missing.
Sure.
Actually, I hope I go missing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
No, I'm...
That's what I love about you, is every time I watch you, it's everything from like just enjoying it, and then it's just this therapy thing happening. And now it makes me feel good about myself, because I think, oh, you know, there's no way certain people at a certain level get down or get like hate themselves. But yeah,
oh my
wow,
God.
Everybody's like this. It's great.
Well,
it's,
we all
it's
are.
Great to watch. Yeah, no.
Comics. I mean,
it's cathartic to see everybody, other people having it.
Well, you know what I've said to some people, and this might sound crazy, but it's really true. I'm like, you're too happy to be a successful comic. I've said that to newer comics. I'm like, you gotta deal with some pain and loss. And
well, that's such the balance, because I remember like breakups I've had, and I was a beast for like a year or like six months
me
or a
too.
Couple of weeks. And then you find love again, and it's just like, okay.
I know. I better get divorced soon, because I'm losing time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to I'll Leave You With This. I'm Dustin Chaffin, and I am with one of my favorite people in the world. And not even if you weren't a comic, I would somehow just, you would just be one of my favorite people if I had known you outside of this. When I'm down, you know, when I'm walking down the street, sometimes I'll just be like, I want a sundae with sprinkles.
Oh, that's so
and macadamia
cute.
Nuts.
Thank you. I love that.
That's
I really
old school
do.
Bit.
No, there, I love it.
And
I do.
So this is a very funny comic. You've seen her on Tonight Show, on Last Comic Standing, Last Comic Yelling, Last Comic Crying. She's been on all
Last
the
Comic
shows.
Cutting.
She's been on all the Last Comic shows. And comedian with Robert De Niro, which I'm sorry. I mean, that's, I don't know why you didn't quit after that. You know what I mean?
Well, that was, I mean,
that's
after,
a drop the mic moment right there.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it. Yeah. But that after that, the next week I performed in a pizzeria. I mean, it really never goes away. It just.
Yeah. Jessica Kearson, everybody. Yay.
Yay.
That's me and you in a car.
And we're in a car. Yeah. That's like, why you just. You
but it's comics parked in cars.
Right.
Talking comedy. As opposed to getting, there's no coffee and we're not moving.
Right,
so
right.
I'm not
and
hacking.
It's a podcast, not a video thing. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Better anyway.
So it's a whole nother thing we got going.
I'm just glad it's not comics doing yoga or treadmill or something like that, because I'm so tired.
Are you tired?
Yeah, I'm always tired.
I hurt my arm taking my shirt off too fast. I'm such a rock star like 10 years ago. I'm just like, I was like, I went to the doctor. It's a thing. I got a, like a, it's, I can't,
did
I can't,
that
I can't
recently?
Carry a backpack now. Yeah, recently. Just like, you know, I mean, I was in shape. I blame it on my gym because they closed for renovations.
Oh.
Which, I mean, God forbid I join another gym, but I really like this gym.
Right. You can never join.
Well, it's UFC. It's like punching bags and like wrestling with
good,
men.
Dustin.
Yeah, it's my kind of thing. But now it's like, anyway, I just hurt myself because I'm not in shape. But
yeah, that's not good. I mean, that's why I don't lift anything or move, because I just don't want to get hurt. So I just...
It's going to stay in one
place. At this point, I really wish I could just be like pushed around in a gurney. That's how bad it's getting.
This is a good car, though. This seems like a safe, nice car.
It is.
You spend a lot of time in here, just like at your house, just get in it and just...
Yeah, I'm always in my car.
Yeah, I would too.
So it's an SUV, which makes me feel safe. It's why I'm heavy, because it makes me feel safe.
Do you prefer to drive over flying to a gig?
Yes. Well, you know what? That's a very good question. After 19 years, no, at this point. But okay. I did, you know, how many places have you driven? Like 6, 8, 10 hours? I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, Buffalo and
shit
like that.
Oh, my God.
Erie, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yeah, those crazy, crazy
people
places.
Don't even know from
Canada.
Like New York. Me too. Right. From New York to places in Pennsylvania, it's like you feel like you're going through 10 state. It's crazy.
Yeah, and your time
it's
traveling
because
you're going back to like 1975.
Right.
That's what
right,
the mentality
and people
is.
People who want to kill you.
that's one of my favorite parts about you. Is just like you did. I saw you at Gotham, and it was, you know, you're talking about the Florida people or something, and just the after the show stuff.
Oh, did that crack you up?
I love it because it's so true. Saturday, there was some girl that comes in, and you see it in their eyes, and they're just like, "Oh, I've been here before." Blah blah blah. You know, they're going to say something that's going to just make you mad,
right?
And a lot of times, I'll just beeline, I'll just dodge out of the way and try to avoid whatever they're going to say, and then you know, it's just like, it's always something that just not going to make you feel good about yourself. Like, why are you saying that to me?
Yeah, well, I think that some people think that they can say anything they want to comics because we make fun of ourselves and stuff. And they'd be like, "You are fat." Like they'll say, I'm like, "What? You're not allowed to say that."
Yeah.
I can.
You can take it. Yeah.
But the thing with the Florida thing, which of course you get this because you've been doing comedy as long as I have, and it's certain types of people.
Yeah.
But I'm Jewish, and the older Jewish people are, it's classic. They come up to you after and they always say something negative, always.
Yeah.
But it starts out positive, so you know, you get like, oh, wow,
you
they
get
like
a little
me.
Bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, you were funny, but no one else around me laughed. No one, not one person.
Well, the best is if they buy merch, then insult you, because then you're like stuck in that.
Right, like, or they're like, "Do you have an 8-track?
That would be awesome. I think we should get 8-tracks. That would be hilarious.
I loved 8-tracks.
How funny would that be?
I had one in my car.
Of course you did.
Isn't that crazy? Oh, I'm old.
Bob Seger. My mom had a Bob Seger Silver Bullet Band 8-track.
Oh, yeah. That was
old.
We had bread. My parents had all that stuff.
Bread.
I grew up on all that, you know, like
Blood,
hippie
sweat,
music.
Tears, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different time, man.
I know. It's evil.
You know, dad just smoking with the windows rolled up. And, like,
oh, yeah.
With a beer between his legs.
Yeah.
And,
calling you a fat piece of shit. Yep.
Comedy, and then it goes right back into comedy. Yeah, it's like somebody just saying the same shit that just puts you right back in that place.
Yeah, it's all familiar.
Yeah,
you don't feel like it's totally familiar.
Oh, every
angst.
Time I have daddy issues, so when I'm on stage, I have trouble with certain types of men.
Me too.
And I see it in their eyes, and we have a bow up, and it's a peacock, and it's a thing, and it's always I always have some confrontation.
Oh, you that's know. So interesting,
yeah.
Dustin, because
I
love
men.
That you even know that, because so many men, so many male comics would never say something like that.
Oh, yeah. Therapy,
and it's so aware.
Well,
you know what I mean? You're so aware.
You have to be. I mean, therapy, you know. That's,
I know. You know. I mean, I'm the same way. Like, I can look at someone and be like, I feel like they're my mother or my father or my grandmother or whatever. It's so interesting.
Yeah, and you just, you know, it's just something about it. I was talking a little bit earlier on the other podcast, but I feel like, it's just like a certain energy. And but I think as comics, you know, we could shift the energy or whatever. But
we have to. Like, at this point, I can't. I would react to those people so much, and I learned that you have to keep it funny. You know, I would get too angry, and it wasn't funny.
When did you realize how hilarious it was to, like... talk to yourself in like a narration on stage?
Oh, because a lot
of
people would be like, "What are you talking?" Thank you. It doesn't. It's so funny. I did that. To everyone listening, I turn around and I motivate myself. That's really what it ends with.
I'm so jealous. I didn't think of that. It's so funny.
Thank you. I turn around and put my back to the audience and just say, "It's okay. You're going to be fine. You chose this career. No one put a gun to your head." But it always ends with, like, you know, I'll say stuff like, "The guy in the front is not your father," or "Wheat bread is bread."
That's hilarious.
You know, all that shit. But the best part is that it's so interesting. Half the audience screams laughing.
Yes.
Screams.
Sure.
And the other half is staring at me like I need to be hospitalized. And like I did it in Belmore in Long Island this weekend, and not, a lot of them didn't get it. And it makes me laugh so hard when I turn back around and people are just staring at me. It's hysterical to me.
It makes it funnier, yeah.
Yeah, they're then like, what is she doing?
Well, there is that thing. It's like, well, there's certain people out there. It's like, there's you, you know, there's Aronovich. I mean, and Brewer and people like that. How funny is, you know, Rich Aronovich?
Oh,
to
my
me,
God.
To me, Rich Aronovich is one of the funniest people that has ever walked the planet.
And so is Jim Brewer.
He
the
is.
Two
they
of them.
Are.
So both of them
both
on
of
one
them
show is like.
They're like, they're a combination of finding each other, which is hilarious. I think you bridged that somehow.
I did. I just said I set them up like they're in a relationship.
They kind of are. When you're opening for somebody, it is kind of like a relationship.
Right. But no, yeah. I introduced them. I was doing a movie with Brewer in L.A. If you got to see that, if you've never seen it, we were cop partners. It's a horrible movie.
That's amazing.
But it's can you imagine the two of us? And
that's
it was
great.
Nick Cannon's movie, and he hired the two of us to. So we were in a cop car together. I was driving. He used me as a human shield in a scene.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's great. It's hysterical.
Yeah, we have to check that out. Is it on something like Hulu or something?
It's well, you can get it on demand, or I don't know, at a you know bodega in Harlem.
The cat sleeping on it, and just wake up the cat, and you can find it.
Oh God!
Have you seen like, you know, it's funny to like I've never actually seen the movies, but I've always wanted to see like Bill Maher and like Jay Leno's early acting work, because you know they
I never saw that.
They did, like, I know Jay Leno did a movie, a cop movie with Pat Morita from Karate Kid.
I didn't know any of that. Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and you know they tried to push all these guys back in the 80s, you know, like Bill Maher, and then they finally found their place,
right?
You know, which I think, you know, that's the problem with comedy. Sometimes people don't put them in the right thing. They just
a lot of them don't know what to do with us.
Yeah,
they have no idea.
I don't,
especially now.
Oh yeah, it's all over the place.
You
I don't know what to do with myself.
Every I don't either anymore.
I'm trying this thing. Hey, do a podcast. Like, I don't know.
I have to say, you smell very good.
Oh yeah, thanks.
You really smell. What is that?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure what you're smelling.
No, it's something. I don't know if it's like. I thought it's not cologne. It's like it smells like patchouli, kind of. Is it called patchouli?
What is patchouli?
Oh, it's that like.
Is it?
Earthy, like an oil.
Oh, it's
like
probably. Well, there's two things it could be.
Hemorrhoid
could
cream.
No, I don't get hemorrhoids. All right.
Joke.
One thing I don't get. It could be my Pear soap, and it could be this thing that I'm doing. I don't give a shit. But I'm trying to stay young. You know, it's this thing. This. It's this high end. I mean, it's a really expensive. Kind of. Face lotion to keep you. It's like supposed to be this. That's what all the stars use.
Really?
And it's called Cell Life or something, or Cell something.
How much is it?
It's like $80 for like a little 3 ounce thing. But it really, it's made my eyes look better, and I feel like it just
because I get really bad dark circles.
It's good, man. I recommend it. I'll send it over. It's pretty good. You can get it cheaper on like eBay or something. You can find it cheaper. Of course, they probably like.
I've heard of it before.
Yeah, it's like Life Cell. That's it.
Life Cell.
Yeah, it's good.
You
have
to text that to me because I won't remember.
Absolutely,
anything.
I think it's probably what you're smelling.
It's
but,
great.
You're smelling me fighting old age.
You're smelling desperate,
trying to pretend the 40s never happened, but that they just do not exist. That is weird.
It's good you're doing that though. You're taking care of yourself. It's
a lot of men don't take care. I see a lot of. Well, first of all, when you give up the drinking and the drugging and stuff like that. That gives you at least 8 to 10 years.
Yes.
You know, it really
that's
does.
True.
Like, you know, physically and stuff. It's because I see a lot of banged up looking dudes and then they're still drinking or still partying and still whatever. And it's like, that takes a toll, man.
Takes a huge toll.
It just takes you down.
I don't know how people do it. I have to tell you. I mean, there's, of course, no judgment at all.
No, I don't care.
But I was saying to someone the other day, like, how do these guys in their late 40s and 50s drink whiskey all night, and I know this, people do this, I don't do this on stage, but it's really true. Like if I eat bread, I don't feel okay the next day. I'm like, you know, I'm getting older,
sure,
so I don't get how some of these people do it get on stage like that.
I had a little sausage at like a Red Roof Inn. It took me down for like two shows. I was like,
That's hysterical.
Little tiny sausages. I was like, hey, I'll try one of these.
It took me down for two.
I was just like, I was up there just on the stool going, sweating.
That's like, what I mean. Yeah. Like when I was 18, I remember I would, oh my God, I could eat, like I'd go to 7-Eleven and eat like all that stuff. Like
I had a Hostess thing recently and yeah, same thing. Just like you're not used to those chemicals and shit.
No.
But with the booze and stuff, well, that's a rough life too to try to do comedy because I mean I'm banned from rooms because I was just too drunk and too crazy and you know so many crazy relationships that I burned just because you know I was didn't
yeah,
understand
too.
That being anxious is okay on stage.
Right.
There's nothing. Attell is terrified half the time.
Right.
Like, it's okay.
And there's no one.
Okay. You know what I mean? But that's what he does. He channels that neuroses and makes it hilarious.
Right.
And so I think it took me a long time to figure that out, that I could be a little nervous and still grab the mic. It didn't matter that I didn't have to have this uber confidence, like, oh, I'm a rock star, you know?
I would assume for men it's really hard, to just be vulnerable and not be drunk or high.
Absolutely.
I'm very grateful that even with the ups and downs with addiction stuff, I only smoked pot once before a show. It was 19 years. It was right when I started.
I remember. I think I was there.
Oh my God! I was at that hotel motel. Remember what's that motel
we used to do? We used to do a. You used to book me a lot. You really took care of me at the beginning, and it was like a little thing that me, you, and the ex, and we'd all just go to this little place a couple of times a year. I think we went to some place.
Yeah,
it's like a restaurant thing.
Well, I was panicking. Why everyone was laughing at me? I got totally paranoid.
Yeah.
So thank God that I never had to have a drink to perform, because I don't know how I'd be alive right now. I'm not kidding. If I had to have a drink to get on stage.
I did.
That must have been so hard to get up again and not drink.
Like,
I didn't do that. Isn't that weird? I never did. Well, never once.
I used to. It was funny, you know, it's just like, I remember, it's like, I started getting a reputation at the comedy clubs. I had a fist fight on stage. I had, you know, things were happening Things weren't good. And so then I was like, and then I started feeling really insecure about like drinking at the comedy clubs, which, well, first of all, I mean, those are people who aren't comedians. You know, basically when you first start out in comedy, a lot of us have this mentality is we're not getting paid a lot. Let's drink back what we deserve to be paid.
Another problem. So, that's so true.
So you're like, I'm not getting anything. I might as well get three Patrons. That's
very
40
true,
bucks.
Right.
You know?
They always say free drink tickets, free drink. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
So you're like, I got to get something out of this.
Yeah.
You know, I just slayed the crowd. I deserve something.
Right. More than a fry.
Yeah. So there's that mentality. And then I remember then I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to drink in the comedy clubs.
Mm.
So then I would just get a Diet Coke and then I would empty half of it and then go to the stupid liquor store like a freak.
Of course.
Just fill it up halfway up and then just drink it on the subway.
Right.
So then I'm a guy on the subway drinking.
In a paper bag. Like it's getting worse and worse.
So I'm a hobo instead of just a drunk comic.
A hobo. That's such a great word.
I was like, just a drunk comic. Now I'm a hobo. So it's you can't win with the drinking. But I really learned over the years, and I've learned with therapy and just being, first of all, the number one thing I've learned is be around positive comedians.
Oh, my God, Dustin, it's so funny you're saying that.
Walk away from any sort of, why did I get Montreal conversations?
Oh, God.
Or why does this guy have a Netflix? Why does this happen? You know, why am I playing this place and that? Walk away,
Dustin,
when that starts to happen.
I can't even tell you how much I agree with you. Especially lately, lately I've weaned out a couple of people. I can't do it anymore. It's too hard already.
Yeah.
It's so negative. And I absorb negativity like a sponge.
Oh, yeah.
So when I'm around that, I'm miserable. I start thinking about my own stuff. And I'm, you know, it's interesting. I don't compare a lot. I do a little.
Yeah.
But I don't blame the people that get things. It's just like, what is it? You know, why is it that this person keeps getting specials?
Yeah, it is strange.
You know, the same comics get a lot now. It's weird. That didn't happen. Meaning, if you got a half-hour special on Comedy Central, you had your half-hour special, and that was it. Now they're getting an hour, then they get an hour on Netflix. Then it's like, whoa, it's interesting. And I think more so because we're older, you know, I have a child, it's like, it's financially, it's very frustrating now. Like,
sure.
Before it was just, you know, kind of trying to figure it out and
yeah, when's my turn and whatnot.
Comparing, but now I'm like, I really could use the money to get a special.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that is something that happens, and like grown up comedians is a whole nother thing.
It is.
You know, it's like a then you start to look at this. You know, you don't even care about the fame or like what kind of show it is or what kind of just give me a check. You know, I was just talking to John Fugelsang. We're talking about his stuff that he's doing. And, you know, and he's talking, we were just at a party with him and he was talking about how you did, you know, Funny Some Videos. And I was just like, I would do that in a second right now.
Me
like,
too.
And he's like, I didn't have fun. And I was like, how did you not have fun? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I go, that's the greatest show of all time. You're watching a bunch of kids hit the dad in the balls. Like, that's great.
But I don't know if years ago I would have enjoyed it, whereas now I would.
But now's like, what I'm saying. Now.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care either. My goal would be to have a TV show where I'm not famous, like everywhere you go, you're recognized, but I can fill theaters. That is my goal. Yeah, I like would kill for that.
Like an Eric Andre career is cool.
Yes.
Somebody like that where he gets to do what he wants to do. It's still rock and roll. He still has like an audience. It's very, you know, he'll still fill a room, but he's not big household name, but he's enough of a name. Like,
that's right. And then you could just, you don't have to worry about, you know, you could fill 1,000. Can you imagine? You could fill 1,000 seat theater every week.
Yeah, and if he slicks his hair back, nobody recognizes him.
Exactly. You know? Right. That's the best, because like you brought up De Niro. When I worked with De Niro and all these famous guys in the movie and the comedian.
Yeah, say that again, by the way.
Well, that's a great story because I would that
please tell the story.
This will give people hope because I was on stage and he was there. De Niro was there with Taylor Hackford.
Oh, that's amazing.
Who's a huge director, and they had seen a ton of comics, and he chose me.
Oh, that's awesome.
To be in the movie in a scene. That's really how it started. And then when I met with the two of them. I was on the road doing a horrible gig in Florida, one of those developments, 55 and over, and I was at my father's apartment, and I got a call at noon on a Saturday, and it was Taylor Hackford.
Oh my goodness.
And he's like, hi, Jessica, I got your name, and Bob and I would like to meet with you on Wednesday. And I'm like, oh,
Bob Nelson?
Bob, right? I'm like, Bob. And he goes, oh, my God, that was me with my foot on the gas.
That was appropriate sound effect for that moment.
Oh, my God, I did not mean to do
it's okay. It was fun. It
so
was
I was
like
Bob,
morning show.
It was Bob De Niro. I'm like, what? Like, it was one of those.
Yeah.
That's why I'm very grateful for that. It was unbelievable. But anyway, I met with them. Harvey Keitel walks in the room.
Oh,
and
my
this
gosh.
It was crazy. That's, it was the craziest thing.
Wow.
And I ended up, he hired me to teach him how to do stand-up.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then it ended up where I was in his ear the whole movie in a little, you know, ear mic thing.
What?
And he wanted me there for every single scene. I got a producer credit.
Oh, that's amazing.
And a comedy consultant credit. And, you know, it's just, it was,
How did he take to it as like a comp? You know, like certain people.
He had a very hard time with it, and meaning he said to me, "This is I'm backing up while I'm talking into the mic." I'm like this. He said, "This is the hardest thing I ever did."
Really?
In my career, isn't that amazing?
And that's why I love him because it's like he admits that, you know.
Yeah, and he had to look like he has been doing stand up for 35 years. So that's why it was so hard because.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like he was starting out as a comic. He had to look like he was. That's an incredible thing.
Was there any sort of like because a lot of us when it was coming out were wondering if it was going to be some sort of Kings of Comedy thing, like because I love him in that.
Right.
To me, that pretty much sums up that crazy desperation of becoming famous.
Some of it was like that.
Okay.
But I did what I could. Every word I could. I mean, I realized that I can produce something and that it was very good for me because
you can work
I
with somebody like that.
Well, he hired me.
Yeah.
The producers didn't.
Okay.
So if De Niro wants you around, you're around.
Yeah.
But they didn't want me around, meaning they were really nice and whatever, but I was always in the way because he would say, where's Jessica? Like even in the intimate scene with Leslie Mann.
Really?
He goes, where's Jessica? Where's Jessica? So I went in the room with the two of them and explained to them how to get intimate with each other. Isn't that incredible? I learned so much. It's incredible. I told her to get on her knees in front of him and for him to pick up because they were drinking in the scene, to pick up a bottle and pretend like he was doing stand-up and all this stuff.
Wow.
So when I see it,
so
it's so
sweet.
Weird because so much of it was my idea. But so much of it, they insisted on saying, I said, but I'm the comedian. I know
yeah.
what would happen in this situation and what wouldn't. And there were, of course, so many cooks in the kitchen. And, you know, I did what I could.
That's so cool.
He's an he's an incredible person. And let me tell you, I mean, can you imagine walking down the street with him? It was like people freaked out.
They go crazy, right?
Crazy. Crazy.
Oh,
I mean,
and you guys are just like go to the bodega or something, or you're just with the film crew?
No, like he had a trailer. So a lot of times we would have to walk back and forth or, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the extras in a restaurant scene were freaking out. I mean, people just, it was hard for them to act, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he is the guy.
And I didn't have that with him. Yeah. I can't, I don't know. I still can't understand why it didn't faze me to this day. Until I heard him say my name on the talk shows, that's when I was like, De Niro just said my name on Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel. Like, I was like, he said, Jessica Kirsten helped me with everything. And that's when I really freaked out.
Yeah. That's crazy.
He's so normal.
Well, that's
the thing.
He
really is.
But I mean, you have it maybe, I mean, he might be the biggest, you know, but you've met a lot of people, you know.
I grew up with him. You know, my stepbrother is Zach Braff. So I've been around it.
So, yeah,
forever.
That's you're part of this whole culture. So it's like, and you do stand-up, and you perform with people in the crowd.
Do you know what that was, everyone?
Put your seatbelts on.
That was a
what
sign.
What is that? You got to change your oil? What's going on?
No, I mean, I do need gas, but that is the little symbol that says it's called out. It's like I didn't know. I needed that to go off.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you have like a little, just to let you put your jacket on kind
of
thing?
Yeah, that's like the road is cold.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, it is.
He is sweet.
It's
a sweet car. You have a sweet car.
It's so annoying.
It looks sturdy and sweet.
Thank you so much. I'll never be okay.
No, but it's, you know, I don't know. That's just so cool. You know, and that's the thing is you never know where comedy is going to bring you. As much as we hate this thing, because we do on occasion, just like a real relationship, you know, in any sort of love, you know, you're going to have the hate.
Of course.
And you're going to have things that drive you insane. And I think with, you know, but you never know. You know, one day I'll wake up in Sweden and I'm doing comedy and I get to, and I'm like, why am I in Sweden right now? Because I have dick jokes and a cowboy hat. You know what I mean?
I've been in Sweden too. Like, why am
I'm
in
like,
Sweden?
There's certain places or Japan or wherever. And I'm just like, why am I in this place? And it's beautiful that these little napkin jokes that we wrote that we tried out at Gotham Bringer shows and then took over to this open mic and went over to that place and this club and this shitty Pennsylvania club. And then we end up somewhere cool and amazing. And that's what keeps you in it. You know,
that's
the Chasing the Dragon kind of thing. It's this thing where it's, and then you're working with De Niro and you're doing all these amazing things. And it's just, you know, like I did the crashing thing. And that was something that was like, you know, that was weird because it's like almost documenting this thing we do.
Right.
And then to be a part of it and kind of like act in it and do stuff in it is like just really, really crazy, that whole thing.
I know. I have to tell you the biggest thing, the reason why I continue to do it is that one message or that one email I get or that one comment or the woman that comes up to me. Like I was in Long Island this weekend. It's very difficult. You know, three shows out there and then doing an hour and then talking to people after and selling stuff and it's tiring.
Sure.
It really is tiring. And then traveling and the whole thing. But a woman came up to me, she was 83 years old, and I talked to her the whole time I was on stage and she was so beautiful. And she came up to me after and she was crying. She said, my son died this fall and I really have not laughed like that. And honestly, I swear that's like, that would keep me going now for another 6 months. Hearing that, it's so powerful.
Yeah, I mean,
it really is.
That's, I mean, yeah, you never know who you're going to lift or whose life you're going to change that night and for the better, you know, because, you know, that's the thing. Most of the time we don't realize we're doing the Lord's work, but we are.
Yeah, we don't realize we're chosen, but we really are the most important people on the planet.
We are. We're healers. We are.
I did go for a master's in social work, and I say this is the same thing, except I don't have to listen. I talk.
Pretty much.
I could, I mean, I could
you
never.
Listen. Yeah, I see you listen.
But I mean, I could never have made it as a therapist, like sitting and listening to people hour after hour. You probably could.
I like it. Because my therapist sees all the comics.
Oh, he's go to that?
He's that guy.
Yeah.
And I was one of the first guys that he saw. And so I kind of like passed it on to like all these other dudes. So, I feel like, and he's older, so I feel like if he goes, I might have to finish up my degree and just fill his
shoes.
Yeah,
you're going to have to see all the comics.
But it is funny where you walk in to the office, and then you know, I'll sit down in the waiting area, yeah. and then you just have no idea who's going to walk out of the door.
That must be so
interesting. It's so funny, and you're just like, ah!
That is hysterical to me.
It is funny. And it's like, I was like, oh, I can't follow you. You're nuts or whatever. And or you just worked with them or, you know, whatever. But it's just like, it's beautiful because it's like, it's a lot of men actually. And then you're just like, oh, wow, you're kind of, you know, had no idea you were trying to better yourself.
I know. I'm really glad that a lot of you guys are going to therapy. I mean, I think it's great.
Yeah. You know, you have to at some point have to better yourself and figure out, like, you know, you either hold on to that shit or you drink and you go out and you do all. Because when you stop doing that, you got to, like, you know, fill those voids somehow.
I know.
And, you know, and sometimes
we
don't get enough laughs to fill those voids. And that's what we're doing on stage a lot. You know, we're just trying to, like, make up for this horrific childhood or whatever.
Oh, I always say no matter how much you clap, it'll never fill the hole. That's one of my things I always say.
It's a great title
for
an album.
It's so true. Yeah. It's really true, though.
Yeah.
It just can, I mean, it'll make me feel good, but it's not going to cure me to get clap, you know, to.
Well, the way I feel all the time is that moment where you're walking to the stage and they're clapping and they stop clapping before you actually get on the stage.
That
I feel that way all the time.
That's so weird.
I constantly feel that all the time where it's like, that's the worst thing to do.
Me.
It's like, what is wrong with you people? You couldn't, like, give me a second.
I say to people now, I just said this last night. I swear, it's weird.
Would it kill you?
I say, you know, this is more familiar. I'm glad that you're just, there's silence. Like, I'm a loser.
They could, 2 more seconds.
No, they're lazy
two
now.
2 more seconds.
People are lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not clapping. I mean, let's see what you have to offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably suck.
Yeah. And then you get up there and you hate them before you've even started.
I hate them already because I'm so... Like I'm afraid of them.
Are
That's
you?
Really what it comes from. Yeah, because I don't know them, and they're probably great people, most of them. For me to just...
Depends.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to be positive right now, but it's really...
I have a hard time
I hope
with
they
the
all
audiences.
Die.
I'm having a really hard time with the audience. Like, it's a
Lately?
Lot of therapy stuff I talk about. Like, I was talking earlier about the aggression. Yeah, I just hate them. Like, I just think that a lot of times they get their fucking feet on the stage.
I know.
They get
what?
The thing.
It's getting
just,
worse.
Yeah, and it's just like... Just stay home, you know?
It is getting worse, Dustin.
Just don't do... I don't understand. It's really difficult to get a good group of people together under one roof that want to see and hear comedy.
Well, because everyone's divided now. It is. It's real. There's people... Everyone is...
Yeah.
And there's some people who are, like, so overly sensitive. Like, you can't say anything without them going,
Yeah.
I hear a lot more of that than I ever did. Like,
I was crushing last night, and then I went into some Trump stuff, and it's light Trump stuff.
No.
It's not even.
You can't.
It's not even like it's about my parents voting for Trump and the thing, and it's just like at least you know it's a good thing to at least you know whether they're ready or not for the nursing home, you know, and this kind of thing, and it's like it's a good indicator, you know, and it's just like I did this whole
That's
thing.
That's funny.
It's like, oh, you voted for an orange ape, okay, because you don't want a woman wearing pants. Hop in a van, Papa. We're going to Baskin Robbins. All right, that kind of thing. And it's like it's silly, you know. And then but then the Trump people or the kind of Trump, I don't even know what they are. It's like they shut down. And it's just like, it's an amazing thing because ever since I've been a child, we've been making fun of Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan.
Because they
and
think
everybody,
you're being mean to them.
But we've
and
been
you're
mean to
them.
All of these presidents.
Yeah.
All
no,
we've done is make fun of them.
And
all of them.
And a lot of them cheer on
Chevy
mean
Chase
stuff.
Was making fun of Ford. What's his head? Falling down all the time. Like, you know.
Oh,
Ford? Was it Ford? Was it?
I don't
Who
remember.
Was the guy before Carter? I don't. We were young, but it was.
It was Ford, I think.
Ford. Yeah, Ford. Anyway, but it's like, that's just what we do. You know, and then people getting weird, and then, you know, well, this guy is a whole nother thing. It's like he's with the
Twitter.
Well,
they hate us, and we hate them. I mean, it's a whole thing. It's very this is so everyone knows this, but I've never seen anything even close to what's going on
right
now.
It's insane.
Yeah, and it's getting worse every day.
And
it literally is.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I was in San Antonio, Texas, and I was performing, and, they're pretty cool out there because there was a lot of there was some big portion of the show, a lot of Mexicans in the crowd and stuff. And we were kind of playing around and kind of, so I did the Trump joke and it went really well. and then we're kind of making fun and whatever. And then afterwards, the club owner was like, "Yeah, you know, that's a great joke, and I'm kind of with you, but." You know,
no, next, don't silence.
Yeah.
You know what?
And it was basically like, don't do it for the other shows because somebody's going to get offended and crazy and whatever. And so it's just like, you know, it's just weird that you have to even think like that.
Oh, but you could go off on Hillary. I wonder what he would say.
Nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why
absolutely.
I get makes me sick. It really does.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, the double standard is so sickening that what just me, I'm, you know, my lifestyle, everything I do. It's like I respect people more like. You can't just pick which things you're going to believe in and which things you're not, like if you're a religious person. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I respect people more that follow all of it and judge everyone. You know what I mean? But, like, there's so many people who are religious who are like, well, molesting a child is okay, but, you know, two gay people getting married isn't. Like, it's so crazy. It's so insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw something the other day. It was just, like, the greatest thing ever. It was something, like, to the effect of, like, I'm a Christian because I'm a liberal. You know, it was just like, because Jesus was a hippie that loved everybody. Like, why did he turn into this other thing?
I know. When did he turn into the devil?
Yeah. It's like these people are just, you know, making him this thing that he's not. But anyway, as comics, you know, we have to deal with, you know, is this guy all right? All right. You got to deal with, you know, trying to, you know, please the crowd. And then we know what I think, you know, it's like once in a while you'll turn, you're okay with this guy.
Well, Dustin and I, there's a guy that just parked a motorcycle in front of us and he has four pizzas in the back of his motorcycle.
You want me to get one or what's going
on? No, I just feel like, can you imagine if I just crashed into him and took all his pizza? He's leaving the pizza on the bike and he's going to deliver a pizza. So I just can't believe he's leaving it there.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
I think it's cold and like people don't. Yeah. And it's, I would love to get on that and drive.
Oh, me too.
Just drive.
He just left.
Just drive off.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even know. He's got a helmet on. He couldn't even hear it.
Yeah. The motorcycle's still on for everyone that's listening.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for some poor guy that just, you know. Just needs some pizza.
Well, there's a lot of homeless people around
here. How funny would it be if a homeless guy just jumped on that?
I would love it. I would love it if he just took one slice and ran away.
Yeah, either one.
Or even a piece of pepperoni.
Yeah, I'm going to get out there and say, free pizza, free pizza. pizza.
I know. Now I'm thinking about pizza.
Your pizzeria. So you played a pizzeria right after the De Niro thing. Did you really?
Of course.
That's hilarious.
It's this business.
Where
you
was it? Where was it? Jersey
this business
or something?
Will knock you down in a fucking minute.
It really will.
You could be on the highest of. That's why I tell people when things are going well, don't get too excited. And when they're going bad, don't get too sad because it's going to change in a second.
I was just, I was watching a documentary called Hired Guns about, you know, musicians that like fill in for people and go on the road. And it really reminded me of comedy where it's one minute they're, you know, playing backup bass for Alice Cooper or something, and the next minute they're just painting a house or working at Walgreens or
Isn't
whatever.
That incredible?
Yeah, and it's the same kind of thing where it's like they're up this high level and then and they're all talented because to be one of those, you know, guys that can play somebody else's music like that, you have to be really talented. But it doesn't matter. It's just like there's only so much work, you know, there's only so many stars, and that's just the business of like high and low, high and low, high and low. And that's what we're always feeling.
It's meant to be or it's not, and it's a lot of it's luck. I really, because a lot of it doesn't make sense, and I'm okay with that. Like what you're saying,
yeah.
It's like someone could be a better bass player than someone else, but
But at the end of the day, no matter about how bad it is in some shitty place, is you know, it's still better than, you know. Being in a cubicle.
Oh, my God.
Staring at a
so grateful.
Kitten calendar and, like, you know, having some guy come by and, like, where's that spreadsheet? You know, like, it's still better than that. As shitty as it is.
It's so much better.
It's always, will always be better than that.
And we're doing something we love. I am so grateful that I love my job, even though it's difficult.
We have to remind ourselves.
Yeah,
and I think sometimes it takes that lady coming up and saying, you know, this, you know, you really helped me tonight. Or maybe it's just, you know, somebody, you know, just saying something nice online, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just once in a while it takes that. Or it takes a crowd, you know. Maybe.
Oh, or a new joke working or anything. Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
Honestly, that's the best thing in the world. I'm sorry, but there's nothing better than when you do a bit and it just kills
right
away.
A brand new one. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Even when it kind of works, it's good.
It's great.
It doesn't have to work completely, because we all know that it's like, if it just gets enough ball rolling, you're like, okay,
so true.
That's all I'll need is half the crowd.
Yeah.
That's all I need, because I'll make everybody do it in like 6 months. It'll be there.
That's right.
But right now, this is what it needed, was a little, it's a little push.
And you can tell when something's not going to work at all. I can. It doesn't happen
right
a
away,
lot,
you can
but
tell.
There's certain things. Yeah, because it's not totally honest, meaning... Yeah. It has to really resonate with me. Like, someone will say to me, you should talk about da da da. I'm like, no. I have to have had experienced it. That's just how I am.
Yeah.
It has to feel familiar for me to make it funny.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, do you feel like later in comedy you started getting, you finding yourself a little more real on stage?
Oh, my God. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. When I started, I could just talk about anything and try to make it funny or silly. But now it's, if I can't be real now and genuine and talk about stuff that's really going on, then I might as well just stop, because it's, I have to be really honest on stage now.
Yeah, it's really no, I mean, with me it's tough, because I feel like, and you're one of those people too, well, you're different than me, but it's like people go wild for your character stuff. You know what I mean? So I think it's they want a little bit of that kind of, you know, out there kind
energy.
Of big energy stuff. So it's like I can see where, you know, people might want more of that.
Right.
And then you're wanting to work out something that's more vulnerable and real. Mm-hmm. And then, but at the same time, it's like, you know, like when Pryor was doing the special and then people were yelling out, do Mudbone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like. And he starts, he's like, are you fucking kidding me right now? This is a special, and you fucking heckling me about Mudbone. And that right there made me go, oh, my God. He was Richard Pryor when it was a big deal to be Richard Pryor.
Right.
And it was like, he's still getting heckled at a special.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that incredible? It's so interesting.
And just to watch him deal with that was amazing, because he did a great job. He's like, he started just kind of going at the guy and the thing, and... Of course, he ended up, I think, doing Mudbone. That's how much.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think he did.
But they love people. Love character stuff. They do.
Yeah.
But I used to only do character stuff, and now it's like half of my act, I'd say, which is good, because that's something I'm just good at. So people have said to me, you know, like industry people that don't even know what the fuck they're talking about, are like, maybe you shouldn't do any characters. I'm like, but I'm good at it, and people love them, and I love doing them. So why wouldn't I? Like, I don't care what people think. I don't care what other comments. I don't care.
Yeah, that's a weird... that is a fucking weird thing. It's like, what is said to you as a comedian can damage you. It can definitely make you go in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many, like... And just that word industry, I just get anxious just thinking about that word. Because it could be somebody that really knows... what they're talking about, and there's really somebody that has a valid, you know, interesting point. And there could be some fucking kid that's 19 that's got into some agency you're connected with, and then he's your contact because he kind of likes you, or they put, you know, this guy on you because they're, you know, the bigger people are, you know, they're making more money, so they're going to get more attention.
Yeah.
And then so you have to deal with this child pretty much, and then it's just like, you just don't know sometimes what they're, you know, what lane you're in, or where people are going to like push you in the right direction or not.
It's so fascinating. I say to people, you know, try to talk to people who have what you want.
Yeah.
You know, it's that quote. I mean, it's really true with comedy too. It's like,
if they'll talk to you.
Yeah. If they'll even look your way.
It's like, a lot of times I'll try to talk to somebody and you just see it and you're just like, I remember one time I gave Louis C.K. a tag, and then it was just like, it was a big deal for me to just get up there. And, you know, I'm playing the cellar and I'm walking up and I'm like, hey, I got a tag for you.
I've done that too.
And he was like, oh, okay. And I gave him the tag, and he kind of like didn't really acknowledge me much, and then he used it, and I was like,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was like, you suck.
I don't like that.
That's all right. Some karma came his way.
It's okay. I'm so horny and hungry.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to give you the light, because I know you have a spot at Chuckle Butts.
Yeah, Chuckle Butts at the Rectal Hut. My favorite is the Rectal Hut.
Who books that? Who books that? How can I get in there? Come on, recommend me.
Oh, I got to pound my way into that.
I got a VHS.
One.
Yeah. I got a premium blend. But, you know, thanks for, you know, doing this, and hopefully we can do it again.
Oh,
and,
Dustin, and, I love you. I appreciate you. I think you're amazing, and I'm so glad that we were able to do this.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I just want people, a lot of my listeners are comedians and stuff, and if you could say one thing, you know, to your younger self starting out, what would be something that you would kind of like advice you give to yourself or a young comic, you know?
Get on stage as much as possible, because you can it'll take half the time to get where you want to get.
Yeah.
The more you get on stage, and don't compare yourself to other people. It's deadly.
Yeah.
And be kind always, because you never know, you know, you don't want to burn bridges.
Oh God.
I have it too. Yeah.
I keep going to so many places. I was a kid. I was protecting my girlfriend.
Like, there's so many. Yeah.
I can't go anywhere. But all right, how can we follow you on the social media?
JessicaKirsten.com, and Instagram is Jessie Kirsten. I have I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and I have a podcast called Fat Pig with Frank Liotti, which is great.
Hilarious.
Thank you.
So thank you, everybody, listening to I'll Leave You With This, and thanks for our special guest, Jessica Kirsten, and I'm Dustin Chafin, and we will see you soon. Hang in there, everybody. Yay.
Yay.
We did it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.